If I were to define goodness, I already told you God is the one, that's who he is. But if I were to give you a more practical definition of goodness, I would say it goes beyond moral uprightness. Goodness literally reflects God's divine nature. Goodness is actively doing what's right, selflessly serving others, and embodying God's righteousness, and something that you and I cannot do on our own. The key question is, with each of the fruits of the Spirit, as we study them and as we dive into them, is how can we cultivate and display that fruit in our lives? Our goal and our desire when we look at this list, there's a lot of great things in the list of the fruits of the Spirit, isn't there? How many of you want love in your life? We all do. And we want, not only do we want people to love us, but we want to love others. It's a lot better to love people than to be mad at them, right? You feel a lot, and I know sometimes you get mad at people and that feels good for a few seconds, but that doesn't last very long. It's much better to love people. Joy? You like having joy? We all like having joy. How about peace? Everybody wants peace. And we look through this list here, and they're all there, and the question that always pops into my mind is, how can I get more of that? Because I want that. I want joy in my life. I want peace. I want patience or that long suffering. I want that gentleness as we've looked at. I want that goodness that's mentioned here. I want those things in my life, and we need those a part of our lives. How do we do that? Well, let's dive in tonight and we'll see some thoughts on that. Number one tonight, we see the source of goodness. The source of goodness. And when we look tonight and we think about that fact, first thing we see, letter A, is that God is the source of all goodness. Without God, there is no goodness. He is goodness personified before us. The Bible tells us in Psalm 34, verse number 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." And you see, goodness originates from God's character. We could go back to the Garden of Eden, and everything that God did was good. God only does good. That's why God doesn't tempt us with evil, as it says in the scripture, because God cannot do evil, he can only do good. So why is there evil in all those things? That's a great question, and a lot of time can be spent on those. Evil is here because of the absence of what's good. It's the exact opposite. And man in the garden chose to sin. And it came to pass in that time. But it is not God. God made things good. And to disagree with that goes against Genesis chapter number 1. It's pretty clear there. And this is the thing. You and I cannot display goodness in our lives apart from God. Without God, you and I cannot display goodness because he is the source of all goodness, right? So we see, letter A, that God is the ultimate, and we see that he is the source of all goodness. Letter B, we see that goodness is a fruit of the Spirit. And we understand the fact that the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. And when we look at that, we know, we read a minute ago, that the fruit of the Spirit is, and goodness is one of the things listed there. It's a fruit of the Spirit, which means, once again, you cannot produce goodness by human efforts. We can try all day long to be good, but there's none good, right? We can't do it on our own. It's something that happens from the Spirit of God and something that comes from God directly. And the Bible tells us in John chapter 15 that without him, we can do nothing. You want to bear fruit? You want to act like a Christian? You want that love, joy? You want that peace? You want that gentleness, goodness, faith, all those things in your life? Without the Lord, you and I cannot do it. That's what that verse says. We need him. It's something that comes from God. He is the source of goodness. As we think about the fact that the Lord is the source of goodness, we see, number two tonight, we see the characteristics of goodness. What are the characteristics of goodness? Well, there's several things. First of all, letter A is moral integrity. The Bible tells us in Micah 6:8, he has shown thee, O man, what is good. So here's some things that are good, right? And what doth the Lord require of thee? To do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. That's goodness displayed for us right there. Say, I want to be good. Do justly. That's a tough one, though, isn't it? It's hard to be just. We can't do that one on our own if we really get down to that. We are so easily swayed. Someone tells us something, and we don't ever hear the full story. We just hear one side, and we judge it. You hear that going back and forth. We hear, we got these fires going on here. And you got one side saying how bad one side is, and one side saying how bad the other side is. And I'll tell you this, I lived in California long enough. We pay enough taxes, and we pay enough of all of our stuff, that there's no excuse that there shouldn't be water in a fire hydrant, period. We should have advanced past that by now. And we should figure out how to take care of our water in a state like this. I don't know, but did you know Israel's figured out how to get water, salt water, and turn it into regular water? Israel's figured that out. But California, the fifth largest economy in the world, can't get that figured out. It's sad. But before you jump on someone's bandwagon of what's going on either way, a just person will listen to both sides and weigh the evidence. And not just because your Republican buddy or your Democrat buddy says one thing, you go with what they say. Because not everyone knows the facts of everything. And not everyone's there. Or you could go to the governor's website he made to list all the facts. It's a Democratic campaign website it goes to. That's pretty funny to me. But anyways, that's just a side note right there. He's like, we're going to display all the facts and let you know the truth of what's going on. And you go to the website he mentions, and it literally goes to a campaign page for the Democrats. They probably just put the wrong letter in is all that it was. I'm sure it was just an honest, simple mistake. Do justly, love mercy. Love mercy because of the mercy that God's given to us, but also extend that mercy. That's part of what goodness is. And walk humbly with thy God. If we were to look at what goodness is, I think it's right there. It's that moral, we see it there, and that moral integrity there. And we lack, do you realize how, even in Christians today, we lack moral integrity. Integrity is still a good word for Christians to have. I remember when I was a teenager, we had a class project in our Christian school, and you had to come up with your own business and do a logo for it, and you had to get everything figured out. So I had it all planned. When I knew in high school I was going to start a church, so Integrity Baptist Church was going to be the name of it. I had the logo figured out. I had everything all planned, but we're Victory Baptist. And it started out faith, turns to victory, and I don't have any plans to change it to the integrity, but that's what I wanted. Because integrity is an important thing in the Christian life, and we need it. And that shows God is good. God is what integrity is, and we need that moral integrity. Letter B, we need that selfless compassion. That's part of goodness. It's part of goodness. The Bible tells us in Acts 10 and verse 38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Look at what it says about Jesus, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What did Jesus go about doing? Good. What did he do? He sacrificed for others. He focused on meeting the needs of others. On Tuesday night, as we had the tour group here and the tour group preacher there, as he preached the message. And may I just give you a reminder? I know, like on Tuesday night, the guy that spoke, his voice stayed like this the entire sermon, and it never moved from this point. It doesn't matter if someone just keeps their voice like this. There is great truth from the Word of God when no one's voice moves from a certain spot. I learned a lot on Tuesday night that was good for me to hear on Tuesday night, that encouraged my heart Tuesday night. You don't always have to have the guy that raises his voice or moves all around or limps around on his foot. You don't have to have all those things all the time, you know? That doesn't matter. But as he was going through, I think about the disciples and Jesus. The disciples were worn out. They keep serving and serving, and Jesus says, we're going to go get away for a little bit. And can you just imagine, I picture my family. We plan a vacation. It's time to relax from everything. And people see us on a boat going to our vacation spot, and they beat us there in their car, and they're waiting there. Hello, we're ready for you to teach us here. Go away. God bless you, though. But Jesus is like, let them come. And he just preaches to them. And he had compassion on them as sheep having no shepherd. And he taught them, they got hungry. Did he send them away? No, he fed them. He took care of them. That's what Jesus did. You see, goodness, characteristics of it is that righteousness in action, that moral integrity, but it's also compassion for others. It's that sacrificial, focusing on meeting the needs of others above our own. That's what Jesus did. He went about doing good. Is your life today about yourself, or is your life about others? We live in a day and age where everything is about us. Even in our churches, it's about what do I like, or do I like this or that? How about what's going to help reach people for the cause of Jesus Christ? What's going to do more to advance the kingdom of God? Do we ever think on those things? Or do we think about what's best for us? Jesus not once thought about himself. Well, I guess the one time you could say Jesus maybe thought a little bit about himself is when he said, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. But that didn't last very long, did it? But Lord, if that's not what you want, I'll do what you want. That's the one time I see him maybe think a little bit on himself. And if that would have been us, instead of doing all that he did for his disciples that last week before he died, we would have been sitting around moping and pouting and trying to figure a way of getting out of what we were going to go through. But he was willing to do it for us. He loved his disciples till the end because he went about doing good. It's that compassion for others. And we look at our world today, we live in a sin-cursed world. You realize that tonight, right? And we look at the mess that people are. Do you know that people are a mess? But do you know the same God that saved people and saved you in your mess is the same God that can save these people in their mess today? And it would do us well to get some compassion for this world. And to, that's what Jesus did. Say, well, they're just so wicked. And you weren't. And I'm not. We are. If we could be more like Jesus, he just went about doing good. If a passage of scripture were to be written about us, would it say you go about doing good and living in the Holy Spirit power? Great thought, convicting thought. And then when we also see, when we talk about characterizing goodness, we see letter C, we see purity of heart and intentions. The Bible tells us in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Goodness flows from a heart that seeks God's will and tries to avoid sin. You know, the longer you're saved, you should, you know, we like sin, otherwise we wouldn't do it. But the longer you're saved, you should start to grow to where you dislike sin more and more and more. And it shouldn't be where you strive to live for your flesh. You should live and strive to please the Lord. We see the source of goodness. We see some of the characteristics. We see, number three tonight, we see some ways we can practice, or the practice of goodness. How can we practice it in our lives? What can we do with it? First of all, it begins, letter A, with seeking God's guidance. You know, it is so important. And I preached about this morning about seeking God's guidance. We need to seek his guidance. Whose guidance do you seek? Hey, young people in the room tonight, where'd you get your advice from? Even college age. Oh, I get it from TikTok. Really? You're going to get it from TikTok. Or you know, Twitter or whatever the case may be. I get my news from social media. Let God guide you. We talked about this morning, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Let God guide you. Wake up in the morning and say, God, lead me where you want me to go. When's the last time you prayed that prayer? God, open up my eyes. Lead me to those that need you today. Seek God's guidance. Seek him there. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 68. Thou art good, referring to God, and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Teach me how to live my life. Help me do what's right. Why would you go to anyone else in the world on how to be good when you've got God who is the source of goodness and he is all that good is? Go to the local jail and go in and visit someone. Teach me how to be good, please. So, well, I wouldn't do that. Well, why would you ask any other sinner how to be good? Seek the Lord. Pray. I mentioned this a lot recently, but when we pray, make sure you pray and you let God speak to you. Learn to shut your mouth when you pray a little bit too. We get this idea that prayer is just us talking to God. Prayer is communication with God. Girl, I want to be quiet for a second. There should be some of that when you pray. There should be a time where the scriptures are read when you're praying and you're listening to God and in tune with what God's trying to get a hold of you with. If all your prayers are is you talking and God just listening to you, that's not communication. That's not what prayer should be. Walking with God is more than that, and we need more than that in our lives. And through prayer in the scriptures, we learn to align our actions with God's goodness. And if you want to learn goodness, read the scriptures. They're full of it. Jesus went about doing good. So what did Jesus do? You could do a whole Bible study on that right there and learn quite a bit about what he did. Letter B, as we talk about the practice of goodness, do good to everyone. Oh, but they don't deserve it. And you and I deserve goodness, right? What's it saying, Galatians 6:10? As we have therefore opportunity. Look at what it says. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, let's look at that verse. Does that mean you are just supposed to be good to those that are of the household of faith? No. It means you're to be good to everybody, right? But even especially to those who are of the household of faith. And that's where it gets kind of hard sometimes. For some of us, it's very easy to be good to someone that doesn't come to the same church as me. But it is hard for me to be good to someone who goes to church in the same room I go. It's just like family. It's one thing. It's easy to love somebody who doesn't live with you. It's another thing to love, you know, I got all four of my kids sitting on the front row tonight. I love that. David's staring at his finger. What are you staring at there, kid? I don't know what you're staring at. He's just like, he's really focused on that finger. And I don't know if he had a booger on it or if he's just staring at it. You didn't. Good. Good, son. I've told you, if you're going to do that, you have to hide it so no one sees you when you do that. I've taught my son right and how to take care of those things. But it's easier to be nice to your friends at school that you see for a couple hours and have recess for a little bit of time than the one that you share a room with or that you play games with at home all day long. That's just a general thing. But as we talk about practicing goodness, go around being good to people, to all men. Be good to your fellow church members. What a novel concept right there. Do you know one of the things that could change our church this year? Are you ready? If you could just be good to one another. It gets quiet when I say that, but there's a lot of truth right there. If the Spirit of God was actively working in this place through all of us here, goodness would be shown from all of us to one another. And we need to be so careful with those things. Goodness, goodness, and do good to everyone. Goodness extended to all, to fellow believers and to those that are not. When's the last time you were just kind to someone that didn't deserve it? Oh, but you didn't hear what they said or what they're doing. Why can't you just be good to others? Here's a good one. Letter C, respond to evil with good. Sometimes we get the idea, well, they were evil to me, so I can be evil with them. That's not what Jesus taught us or what Paul told us. Respond to evil with good. That's a good way to practice it. When you see Romans 12:21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Goodness resists retaliation and chooses to respond with grace. Say, but that's not what they were evil to me. They meant it for bad for me. But Joseph said God meant it for good. You see how Joseph's brothers did evil to him. And Joseph was put into a position to where he could show evil back to them and get even with them for what they did. But we see all throughout the story of Joseph that there was a different spirit in him. And that spirit is what made him excel and get to the spot where he did. And what spirit? It wasn't a different spirit, okay? It was the spirit of God in him. And it was evident by how he overcame their evil and made good of it. Don't let evil overcome you. And how do you respond to evil? How do you overcome evil? The only way you overcome evil is with good, with the Lord. And we need that in our lives. Respond to evil with good. Say, Pastor, we're running out of time. That's why there's no clock in the back. We'll be fine. We're doing just fine. If it's the last Sunday night for a while, I'm going out with a bang. We'll be here till 9 o'clock. That's not going to be that long. Number four, the impact of goodness. The impact of goodness. Do you know what it does in this world? First of all, letter A, it's a light to the world. This world is in darkness, isn't it? God is light. Jesus is light. He's goodness. And this world needs light. And the Bible tells us, and when we read this verse this morning as well in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And what do they do? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, acts of goodness draw others to Christ and glorify God. And that's why, and I would encourage you, do good to others. And when you do, use it as an opportunity. I gave you one example, but there's been several examples. You got to remember, you get to hear this in a 30, 40-minute sermon. I have to hear this over and over again in my head and in my heart for weeks. And I have to think on these things, and then I got to get up here and preach it to you. And I better be living what I preach. And that's my goal. My goal is never to get behind the pulpit and not live what I preach. I want to live what I preach. And when it comes to this thing, there have been several opportunities in the past several weeks where I've had an opportunity to do good somewhere. And when I do that good, instead of boasting in myself or anything, I just say, the Lord's been so good to me, how can I not be good and do good for someone else? And it points it all back to Him. When's the last time that's happened in your life? Be light. Be light in the grocery store when you're there. Be light at the DMV. I don't know, wherever you are. Is there any light in the DMV? I don't know about that one. It's one of those places. It's a tough one. A light to the world. And then the impact of goodness, what else will it do? Letter B. It will personally transform you. It will transform you. As we look at, and there's a verse there in 1 Peter 5, verses 1 Peter 1:5-7, we see those verses there. Add to this, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and virtue goodness, it's right there, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. As we just look at that, as we practice goodness, it helps us grow and be more like the Lord. As I close tonight, a couple thoughts of application here. The first one is this, a challenge. You need to examine your life. When's the last time you took a good look at yourself? When's the last time you gave God permission to search you? A regular prayer in our life should be as David's psalm, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Hey, are you living out the fruit of goodness? And I've mentioned it before, the Holy Spirit will help you in this area if you ask Him to. ask him. And then some encouragement. God's goodness. Think about this. God is active in your life, empowering you to do good. Trust him to work through you for his glory. God's goodness is there. Do you know the goodness of God follows us and pursues us all the days of our lives, it says in Psalm 23? It's there, wanting to help you. Let him have his work. Let him have his way in your life. And then, lastly, a call to action. Commit to living a life of goodness, serving others, standing for righteousness, reflecting God's love in every aspect of your life. It's what we need. It's a hard task and hard to do, but it's what we need in our lives. And aren't you glad? I love as Psalm 23, and I didn't put it in your notes there, but we know that passage, that last verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It's there. God's goodness is in our lives every single day. Let's live out his goodness in our lives and let it be seen in others. Father, I thank you for the time that we've had to